Man, it is so good to see you all this morning, whether you're sitting with me here live in our worship center, whether you're watching us online this morning, whether you're in the concourse on a table or couch, not on a table, sitting at a table, that would be weird, or you're worshiping in the Oakwood Chapel with us this morning. We are so glad you're joining us this morning. We are continuing a teaching series that's called The Invitation. It's a study in the Gospel of Mark. And so if you have a Bible this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to Mark 14. Mark chapter 14. We've provided Bibles for you if you don't have a Bible. There's one in the seat back pocket in front of you or under a seat if you're up front. The invitation is an invitation to take the yoke or the teaching of Jesus on your shoulders and to learn to walk with him and to become exactly like him. And every week, we've been looking at an invitation in the Gospel of Mark to become more like Jesus. And the invitation we're looking at today is an invitation to win your battle. An invitation to win your battle. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence among us this morning, and we need you. We need your healing power in our lives. We need your power to deliver, your power to save, your power to encourage. And Lord, as we open up the scriptures this morning, the power to reveal truth, the power to make truth known, the power to help us walk in that truth. And so, Lord, we trust you today that as we read this text in Mark chapter 14 about spiritual battles, we are going to understand through your example, Lord, how to win. We thank you for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 years ago, my family went to San Diego, California to run the Rock and Roll Marathon. And part of my family ran the 5K race on Saturday. Some of us ran the half marathon on Sunday. This is the crew. This is part of my family that ran the 5K on Saturday. You can see my wife, Charlene, in the middle. My son-in-law, Beau, whose arms are bigger than my waist on the right side. And then my granddaughter, Faith, is on the left. And Faith was 12 years old when she ran that race. And she wasn't really excited about running it from the beginning. She really didn't want to, but she did because our family was going out to do that together. And when she came in that 5K race to the last three quarters of a mile, the last three quarters of the mile went around a park and then came back to the finish line. And she got to that point and she was done. She was not having any fun. And all of a sudden she looks over to her right across the park and she sees the finish line. And all of a sudden she's got a spiritual battle. A battle with integrity. Do I finish the race and go all the way around the park, or do I cut through the park and cross the finish line? And I tell you, what a struggle that had to be. And as she's wrestling with that, she gave in and she compromised and she crossed the park, ran across the park, stepped onto the course and ran through the finish line. She lost her battle. The good news is she came in first place in her age division for the race. The bad news is she only ran about two-thirds of the race to get there. She lost her battle. And everyone that's hearing me right now is losing a spiritual battle. There's a battle in your life that you're losing. I sit with people in my office every week, and they say, Jeff, I'm losing my battle with alcohol. Jeff, I'm losing my battle with anger. Jeff, I'm losing my battle with pornography. I'm losing my battle with sexual sin. I'm losing my battle with profanity. I'm losing my battle with food addictions. I'm losing my battle with same-sex attraction. I'm losing my battle with gender confusion, whatever it is. And some just say, our marriage is on the crazy train. We don't know how to get off. All we do is hurt each other. All we do is abuse each other. And they want to get better, but they don't. What's your spiritual battle today? What's the battle that you're losing? Jesus wants you to win that battle. Jesus doesn't want you to keep losing that battle. Jesus wants you to prevail. He wants you to win that battle. Do you know what Jesus says about your spiritual battle today? He says this. He says, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. We want to do what's right. We want to conquer. We want to run the whole race. We don't want to cut across the park, but we find ourselves cutting across the park. We find ourselves compromising what God has called us to do. And in Mark chapter 14, Jesus is facing the greatest spiritual battle of his life. It's the battle as to whether he's going to go to the cross and suffer an agonizing death in taking the sins of humanity upon himself. Is he going to run the race and finish the race, or is he going to cut across the park and compromise? Mark chapter 14, we're going to begin reading in verse 32. Jesus and his disciples came to a place named Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." That was the larger group of disciples. And then he took with him Peter and James and John, the big three, and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." Jesus went a little beyond them and he fell to the ground and began praying that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by, that is the cross. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came back and found the three sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch with me for just 1 hour? Keep watching and praying so that you will not come into temptation or fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, Jesus went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again, he came back and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to say in reply to him. He came to them a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's go. Behold, the one who is betraying me is near." The Garden of Gethsemane is at the base of the Mount of Olives. When we were in Israel, we were able to travel and actually go to this spot. Gethsemane, the word Gethsemane means oil press, as in an olive being crushed or pressed for the oil to come out of it. And it's symbolic in that as Jesus agonizes and prays and deals with this spiritual struggle, the weight of the battle crushes him. But as we see Jesus win this battle, he teaches us how we can win our own battles. So how do we win our spiritual battles? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. How do we win our spiritual battles? Three quick thoughts. The first is this: be sober. Be sober. The word sober in the New Testament means to be spiritually alert, to be spiritually aware, to be spiritually attentive. It means to be clear in your thinking. It means to not be deceived or led astray in your thoughts by Satan. It's what Jesus meant when he told the disciples to keep watch. Be sober, be alert, be attentive in this moment. Let's go back to the text. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." Say, keep watch. Be sober. Be awake. Don't go to sleep. He came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? And couldn't you keep watch?" Say, keep watch. Couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying so that you will not come into, literally, fall in temptation, fall in sin and temptation. Give into it. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus is asking the disciples to consider the seriousness of what's happening, the seriousness of his struggle, the seriousness of their struggle, to be awake and attentive to that in the moment. Here's what David Garland says about that text. He says, "Their drowsiness at this crucial moment is due to their failure to realize how crucial this moment is." The more we realize the critical nature of something, usually the more awake and alert we are. If it's something that's not that big of a deal, we don't think that much about it. But if it's a crisis, that wakes us up. The adrenaline gets flowing and rushing in our lives when something is serious. That's what Jesus is asking them to do. Wake up. This is a serious moment. And if we are going to be sober, if we are going to be spiritually alert, aware of what's going on around us, Jesus says we need to recognize two things. The first is this: this battle is spiritual. This battle is spiritual. This isn't a battle with flesh and blood. This isn't a battle with people. This is a battle that's taking place in the unseen spiritual realm. Spiritual battle. Paul gives us insight into this in Ephesians chapter 6. He tells the church, put on all of God's armor. Those are our spiritual pieces that we put on in the place of prayer. Put on all of God's armor so you will be able to stand firm against all of the strategies, schemes, plans, tactics of who? Of the devil. Of that unseen spiritual power that's opposing you and getting this conflict in your life. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Jesus says, wake up. Be sober, keep watch, be alert and attentive. Don't be led astray by the evil one. This battle that you're in, this struggle that you're in, whatever it is, it's being waged on a spiritual plane. So if you are going to be effective in winning the battle, you have to wage your warfare at a spiritual level, which is what Jesus is doing in this whole story. So the first thing he says, if you want to be sober and attentive, is you have to recognize where this battle is taking place so that you can effectively fight it. The second thing you need to recognize is, I am weak. I am weak. I don't have the power in and of myself to win this battle. As soon as you come to that realization, you're closer to winning your battle. That I, in my humanness, I don't have the power to win the battle. Let's look at a couple of texts of scripture. The one we already read, verse 38, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then Ephesians 6:10, before the text we just read, Paul had said, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Not in your might, not in your flesh, but in the strength of the spirit and the spirit's power in your life. I want to go back. I skipped over a verse. I want to go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8, let's read that together. Peter says, like Paul, related to the spiritual battle, be of sober spirit. There it is, the word sober again. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's engaging you in a spiritual battle, and you better respond with spiritual opposition to what he's doing. Okay, you want to win the battle, you want to be sober, you want to be attentive and alert. First thing is, recognize where this battle is being fought on a spiritual plane. It's of a spiritual nature against unseen spiritual forces. The second thing is, you have to realize you're weak. You need a power outside of you to conquer this enemy. You need the supernatural power of God. And I can remember back in my college days when I was struggling with alcohol and drug use and those kinds of things. I just remember every time I woke up hungover, the first question was, stupid, what are you doing? Like, why again? Why do you keep giving into this? You know this isn't where you want your life to go, but you keep going back over and over and over. You keep waking up sick and hungover, asking the same questions. And then I realized that I didn't have the power in and of myself to overcome this. I needed a greater power in my life. I needed the power of the Holy Spirit infused into me so that I could overcome these challenges in life, and so do you. Number one, this battle is being waged on a spiritual level, and we have to wage our warfare in the spiritual realm. The second thing is, we have to realize we can't do this. We don't have the power to overcome the power of darkness in our lives. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. So first of all, be sober. Recognize what's going on. Recognize what's happening, and recognize that you don't have the power to win this battle. The second thing is this: be desperate. Be desperate. Let's go back to the text. It says, Jesus went a little farther beyond Peter, James, and John, and he fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. When it says that Jesus fell to the ground, he didn't trip on an olive tree stump. He didn't trip over his shoelaces. They didn't have shoelaces. Then he didn't trip over his sandals. He threw himself down on the ground before the Lord. He desperately threw himself down and began to cry out to God in agonizing prayer. In a prayer of lament and a prayer of need, he began to cry out to his heavenly Father. Now, the reality is that what Jesus just did in throwing himself down was completely unconventional to any Jewish rabbi. Listen to what David Garland says about prayer, particularly with rabbis in those days. Normally, one lifted one's hands toward heaven and prayed aloud in a standing posture. But if a person was in particular distress, he might lay prostrate and pray face down. Rabbis, being the leader of their students and disciples, would have stood there nobly and lifted their hands, and with the best voice inflection and intonation they could get together, would pray this eloquent prayer of deliverance. And Jesus doesn't do that. He just throws himself on the ground. Not only unconventional, but undignified. Totally undignified. In that moment, Jesus didn't care what the disciples thought about him. Jesus didn't care about his reputation. Jesus wasn't trying to uphold some kind of rabbi expectation for them and lead them with, you know, having his act together. You know what was more important to Jesus in that moment than having Peter, James, and John look at him in a favorable way? You know what was more important? Winning the battle. It was more important for Jesus to humble himself in that moment and win the battle than what other people might think about him. He was willing to be undignified. Are you? As you deal with your struggle, are you willing to be undignified? Are you willing to be seen as one that needs help? Some of you are not at that point yet. You're trying to hide your battle. You're trying to conceal your battle. You're trying to keep others from knowing you even have a battle. Jesus didn't care about that. He threw himself down in an undignified manner before the Father and said, Father, I desperately need I've got to win this thing, without concern for his reputation or what others might think about him. In fact, Jesus asked his friends to be involved in his struggle, didn't he? He invited them to the place of prayer. And then he invited Peter, James, and John to go with him a little farther. And he said to them, hey, stand watch with me. I need you. Pray with me. Pray that you don't enter into temptation. Stay awake. Stay alert. This is serious stuff going on right now. And we are afraid to invite people into our struggle, into our spiritual battle. Jesus, he didn't have a problem with that. He didn't have a problem saying, I need you to pray with me. I need you to walk through this with me. This is the most difficult thing I've ever gone through in my life. Essentially, I need you. Watch and pray with me. Let me ask, have you reached out in your struggle? Have you reached out to your spiritual community? Have you reached out to your Christian friends? Have you invited them in to watch and be sober and pray with you? Are you desperate enough to win the battle? Or are you keeping it in darkness? Are you trying to look dignified? Are you trying to look like you have it all together when you really don't and you know it? Are you willing to step into an opportunity that's going to help you? Maybe you need to brothers and sisters in Christ that would love to pray with you and support you and love you as you walk through that difficult thing in your life. Maybe you need to join a recovery group or some ministry here at Central where there's going to be people to come around you and encourage you and pray with you and keep watch and be sober with you. Maybe that's your next step. Jesus said, be sober. Be alert. Know what's going on. Know the seriousness of this struggle that you're in. And then he said, be desperate. Don't try to look dignified. Don't look like you try to have it all together, that you don't need any help. You do. I do. And when I struggle, I have to invite people into my life and say, I need you to watch, and I need you to pray, and I need your love, and I need your help in this situation. So Jesus said, be sober. Jesus said, be desperate. And then Jesus said, clearly, be prayerful. This is when we wage the spiritual warfare. It's in the place of prayer. And this point is just incredibly exciting to me. When we look at what Jesus prayed, it gets me all fired up. Let's look at this. Go back to the text. Jesus went a little farther and he fell to the ground in desperation. And he prayed that if it were possible, that the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Abba, Father. Listen to the words of the prayer. Abba, Father, he cried. Everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same thing again. I think he prayed it three times. Have you seen or heard a prayer that sounds something like that? Where is it? Shout it out. The Lord's Prayer. Doesn't it sound a little bit like the Lord's Prayer? In Matthew chapter 6, our Father in heaven, Abba, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Jesus said, all things are possible to you, Father. Your kingdom come. Your power is above every power. Your kingdom is above every kingdom. Your rule is above every kingdom. Bring your power into my life. Nothing's too hard for you, but not my will. Your will be done. Mark records these words, and Jesus had taught these words to the disciples. Abba, Father. You begin with this deep, intimate, relational connection with God, your Father, with Jesus, your Savior, with the Holy Spirit, your Comforter and your power. We connect immediately in prayer with God in an intimate way. And then I love how Jesus said it in Mark. He said, nothing's too hard for you. This battle's nothing for you. This bondage is nothing for you. This struggle I have is nothing for you. Bring your kingdom into my life. Bring your power into my life. Bring your deliverance into my life and help set me free from this. Nothing's too hard for you, God. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. Bring my life into alignment with your will on the earth, as it is in heaven. Your plan, your purpose for my life, Lord, which is clearly to be free from this bondage, clearly to be free from this spiritual battle that's bringing me down and causing me to sin and causing me to compromise. I think it's cool that this prayer that we have in Matthew 6 and again in Luke, the Lord's Prayer, was the prayer that Jesus prayed to find victory in his greatest struggle. What a prayer. What a powerful prayer. Jesus is showing us, hey, you want to win? You want to overcome? You come to the place of prayer and you connect with your Father. You connect with God in an intimate way in prayer. You thank him for who he is. And you declare in faith, God, nothing's beyond your power. Nothing's too hard for you. This thing that I'm struggling with, your power is greater than that. I've been seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all rule and power and authority and dominion and every name that's named. There's no match for the name of Jesus. I've been given the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. There's nothing that's too hard for me in Christ. I can do all things through Jesus. We come to the place of prayer with this confidence that God is more than able to set us free and that he will align our lives with his purpose, lift us to a place of freedom and victory in life. Jesus gave us the prayer that brought him victory. What battle are you facing today? Can I ask you, related to this battle, this week, will you finish the course or will you cut across the park? Jesus was desperate. Are you? Are you desperate enough to invite people into that situation? Are you desperate enough to humble yourself before the Lord? Jesus invited others to fight with him. Will you? Jesus declared in prayer, nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? This week, when you come to the Lord in prayer, do you really believe that as his kingdom comes, as his rulership and authority comes in your life, that it has power over everything? Will you walk in that posture this week? Because you're losing a battle. And there's battles that I'm losing in my life. As we come to the Lord and realize that as Jesus found victory in the garden, so we can find victory through Christ as we remain sober, as we become desperate, and we become people of radical prayer. inviting others to keep watch with us. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you, but we're going to have some people up here to pray with you as well. If you're in this battle, maybe your first step this morning is, okay, I'm going to invite someone to pray with me. I'm going to share my struggle. I'm going to get some help. Jesus, this morning we are grateful for your example. You didn't have to be water baptized, but you were as an example to us so that we'd follow. And you went through this torment in the garden, this agonizing battle of submission to the will of the Father. And we find ourselves in that same struggle, that struggle to submit ourselves to the will of God. So Jesus, would you empower us this week? Would we find new hope and new life? Lord, would we be willing to follow in your steps, to take your yoke upon us and learn how to ascend to a greater place of victory and power through your name? Give us that grace this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.